Hey, and welcome back to Extra Features Interview. Today we have a returning guest. He's crazy enough to bring us a second film. Miles Yakich.
Close enough.
Hey, that's pretty good. So how have you been? Everything going well?
Yeah. Everything's been great, especially since the last time we've been on the podcast. Poppies is still plugging away at festivals. We've got a couple more coming up, and I'm here with my next film, Aaron.
So how long did it take you to make this film? Why? What possessed you to write the film?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's, I guess, a good place to start.
I had a
window of time in December of last year where I could shoot another short film. And in October, I started writing. I wrote it in a couple weeks. I got the financing together in a couple weeks, and then we had a couple weeks of pre-production, I think 8 days of pre-production, and then just got right to it. And this was a very different process than Poppies in terms of the production process. But it was more about there's a window of time to do something, so let's do it.
Now, how did you get your, hang on, 2 weeks? You got all your funding in 2 weeks.
I got my financing together in a couple of weeks. I started writing it in October, and I think I spent about a month on the script, and then I got the financing by American Thanksgiving. So that's like the towards the end of November. So pretty quickly this came together, and then our first day of principal photography was December 5th.
Back me up. How did you get it done in 2 weeks? Nobody gets anything done in 2 weeks.
I'm crazy. No, it was more, I mean, it was really, it just came down to if we're going to make this, we have to make it while I'm still a student at UCLA because we get a lot of discounts and a lot, everyone is friendly to students who are making films. So if we're going to make it, we're going to make it while I'm still a student, which was my last day of classes was December 13th. So we shot it all before December 13th.
So let's go back. Did you get a scholarship to UCLA?
No, I did the extension program, which is a certificate. It's like night classes. So it's kind of like continued education. But as you know, I'm Canadian. So to be in the U.S., I needed to do some school first to be here.
Okay, so you do it at night. So what do you do during the day? Do you just write films? Do you work on films?
Yeah, so, well, now I'm done school, and I'm just working on films full-time. So we're working on the feature film of Poppies right now, which was the first film I talked to you about on your podcast. And so I'm working on that full-time and also promoting my two short films, which are currently in the festival cycle.
So being a film student, you must have access to hundreds of actors, sound designers.
That's just a product of being in LA. I think anyone in LA has access to thousands of actors. Not just actors, but crew and talent in front of and behind the camera. Everyone here is, once you find your tribe of people you like to work with, you can make stuff happen pretty quickly. And I think the fact that, you know, my team and I are turning projects around quickly. So like we shot Aaron, we went into production in December and the film was done in March. So, I mean, that's a pretty fast turnaround for short films, especially for student films. Most people aren't finishing projects, you know, within 6 months. So I think that's also good, which encourages people to work with us because we're getting stuff done.
So let's get into the process of Aaron. You have, again, beautiful cinematography. This is back-to-back shorts with, like, amazing cinematography. So did you bring back my favorite person again?
Yeah, that's thanks to Dylan Chapche, who's the cinematographer. And, you know, we've worked together now. We've done two short films together and several other projects that we've worked on. So I think our shorthand's getting, you know, tighter and we're understanding each other a lot better and building that relationship to create some hopefully beautiful images.
Now, I think with this film, as opposed to your first film, Poppies, you have a more depth of field, I've noticed.
Yeah, I mean, I think I thank you for that. I really wanted to push myself in as a director and as a in a different way. I wanted to give myself a different production, a different set of production challenges. We had for example, if you compare the two films, Poppy's had 8 kind of big scenes and kind of 4 big setups that were kind of like blocks. Whereas this has, I think, like 28 scenes if you break it down. And even so I wanted to give myself a different set of challenges when it came to production. Like Poppy's, we had a whole day to shoot a scene, whereas this was like we have an hour to shoot a scene and then we got to move on to the next one, or I'm losing a whole sequence of the script. I'm not losing a shot. So yeah, I think, and hopefully that's what translates into some greater depth, because it feels more like a world, maybe. Like we created going into a different world.
Yeah, because with your first one, I like Poppy's. Like, we're on the plane and then we go out of the plane, but we don't really have a world. Like, we know it's in somebody's mind. Here it feels real to me. Like, you have real people. You have background people. You have things moving. With your first film, I would argue, is a little more stagnant. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just what you were going for.
Well, and I think that was also, I mean, Poppy's was my first film. And if you remember, like, I came from a different industry before that. So I wanted to make sure that I was challenging myself. With Poppy's, I really wanted to work on creating a beautiful set of images, which I think Poppy's is very beautiful, and also creating really good performances with my actors. And I was able to do that because the story was a little bit more stagnant. And I wasn't so hectic about dealing with are we going to have, is there going to be continuity issues? Are the camera angles going to match up? I tried to create something that was safer in some production areas so that I could explore into like performances and telling a story with the actors, which is kind of what filmmaking is, the first step. And then with this film, because I was more confident in my ability to do that, I got to push myself with trying to create a little bit more tricky of a production and can we build in some more layers with the world and a more dynamic environment.
Okay, we're going to go back to your film, I promise. So after doing Poppy's, do you feel more confident now making a second film? This one's in the can. How's it feeling?
Absolutely. Every project the thing that I love about filmmaking, and I think anything artistic, is you're always learning. So absolutely, with Poppy's, I got a set of skills under my belt that I felt good with, and then going on this set, I purposefully gave myself a new set of challenges that, having completed them, now I feel more confident to take on the next thing, which we were talking about before we started, this was going to be a feature. So it's about building up those skills so that when I get to where I want to be on the next project, I'm ready to take it on. One step at a time.
Okay. Again, you have a location. I mean, the school location is beautiful, and you really allow me to take that in. Right off the beginning, you drop me in there, and you're like, boom, here we are. Here's the school. Get it used to it. We're going to stay here for a bit.
Yeah, no, and creating environments is something that I love. I really enjoy production design and creating that world, which I think is evident in both films. In Erin, we created this period piece, which is supposed to feel like the 60s. It wasn't a specific year or time period or anything, but just to feel like nostalgic 1960s Americana. And yeah, it's all about finding good locations and being resourceful. We used like one location for multiple different setups.
I know.
So there's some scenes where like it's supposed to be different locations, and we use the same location and just address production design to create the feel of like a cafe versus a bar versus, you know, like some different locations, which, you know, that's part of being smart in your production process.
Now you have, I guess the professor works with your lead character.
Correct.
Now,
yeah.
Use that 3 times, I would argue. It looked like the same room 3 times, and I noticed. Well, I'd say the cafe's there. I would say the bar's there, and I would say that's there. There may be something else I missed, but those were the 3 I noticed.
In the school, yes. Like in the school. No, so the bar, the cafe, and those 2 are the same location. Our school, the room with the professor, is the same location as the library setup that we have a couple shots from. It was just really about trying to like flip the room and think about how can we be creative with switching out a few pieces of furniture, changing our lighting setup to create a feeling of being in somewhere else without, because every time you move your company, like move your production crew, that's eating up a couple hours at least, mm-hmm. especially in LA traffic, and you're losing shooting time, which should be your setup time. So, yeah, just trying to be smart.
You're very smart. I give you full credit with that.
It's a team effort. It's a team effort.
Who did your costuming? I thought the costuming was spot on for everybody. I loved it.
Absolutely. Her name is Meredith Peebles, and I had seen a short film she had done when I was at a festival with Poppies at LA Shorts, and by chance got connected with her through one of the actors in the film who had worked with her on another project. So I had seen her work kind of multiple times, and yeah, she did an absolutely fantastic job. It was, our goal was, especially for our main character, for all the characters, was to kind of to create a wardrobe. Like, he's supposed to be a student in the 60s. He's only going to have, like, 5 or 6 shirts. He's only going to have 2 or 3 sweaters, and really trying to create the feeling that these are his clothes. And, like, really, he's living in the same world. It's not a different costume every scene, but it's the same pieces kind of mixed and matched. And, yeah, she did an absolutely incredible job.
Now, where did you get your costuming? Because, I mean, you do have this very specific period here. You said 60s. I would have said late 50s. I would have accepted that without an issue.
Yeah.
I think 60s would have been a little more, I think your lead would have been a little more outgoing in the 60s.
Right.
I think. Not that it matters. It could be 59 or 58 or 60, 61, but I don't think you can go too much further than that.
No, I think the year, because there's some reference to some space talk.
There is.
Like, which was kind of like 1962, 63. Okay. So we were like kind of in that realm. And yeah, for costumes, I think it was, she has like a warehouse of pieces she has. And then it was about also looking for specific things for each of our lead talent that would suit them and the characteristics we wanted them to have. And I think going to, I don't know if she went to costume houses like for rentals for this film or just kind of picking some stuff up at thrift shops but like I said, it was really trying to nail down characteristics about each character and building wardrobes for them. That is also what I helped think create the sense of a world rather than just like, oh, it's a new outfit. It's a new outfit. It's a new outfit. It's like, oh, that's his shirt. That's like what he wears all the time. And people are like that.
Now, I'd be remiss to not being myself by asking, does the math on the board work?
If you want to take a stab at it and try to figure it out, be my guest. And that's probably a question for production design. My kind of instruction and request was have space-esque math equations. So I don't know if it works out. But hey, we might have solved some new major issues.
You never know. I was looking at it going, I wonder if that works. I should really ask them to try to have somebody I know try to figure that out. Your old set design, you have an old phone, and you rely really heavily on something that we don't use anymore, a sealed letter. So your letters drive your film a lot of it.
Absolutely. And this is something I wanted to explore some contemporary issues that I think especially happens with like younger generation with millennials and about we have a lot of meeting and interactions online where there's this idea of how you present yourself online, but then also the way you interpret other people's like their online versions, and you make a lot of judgments without actually getting to know people. So I wanted to distill that down, and I thought using a pen pal relationship with the idea of our main character's name is David. David is, he's absorbing everything he can from these letters, and through that, he's making a lot of judgments and assumptions about who he's writing to in his pen pal. And there's a lot of talk like now about catfishing and people creating fake identities, but I wanted to do the flip side of that, of what happens when the person is correctly presenting themselves, but based off of your own set of judgments and experiences in life, you're attributing your own. You're kind of like tricking yourself into believing something's more real than it is or whatever it may be.
Now, with your first film, I would say you relied a lot on colors. It was a very colorful film. You relied. Now, you didn't go away from this on this one. I think you dulled it down a lot on the colors, but they're there.
I think they're there, and I think in the first film, we used colors in a more obvious way, and in a way that really was about the locations as well as the emotions. In this film, I wanted to play with color in the sense that the real world has a more realistic tone to it. We obviously have the color of Neptune throughout the film. And then when we go into our main character's imagination, that's when things become a lot more vibrant. And that's what I wanted to play with, is the idea that in our own head is where we can really explore, and where his life, you know, kind of starts is when he checks out of his day-to-day boring space problems and going into something a bit more fantastical.
Well, I wanted to add to that question. I find you really add sound now. You've brought in sound. So I made notes: the pen, a bell, the opening of the letter, a door closing, opening of a presence. You really draw that out with the colors now. Because I know your film, I know your first film, so I know what I'm getting into.
Absolutely.
But I didn't expect sound now. Do you really dwell on that much more than you have in the other one? Is that something new to this film to you?
I think that's a combination. I think of, yes, I'm more confident in terms of and understanding sound better. I would say sound is probably the area where I was weakest when I was doing my first film, and I learned a lot. And now when I watch films, I'm paying attention to sound a lot more. So I think I've grown and wanted to explore more as an artist that way. But also, Sean Oakley did the sound mix for Aaron, and he was one of two or three sound mixers on Poppy. So I think because I got to work with Sean through the whole process, it was a more cohesive sound design from him. You know, so I think it's kind of a combination of, like, A, I wanted to explore more and be more creative with sound, and B, because I was working with the same person throughout the whole process, he also made a greater contribution. And he brought a lot to the table, which was exciting, especially, yeah, for me to play with. It was great.
So, we have never touched on David's bedroom.
Right, yeah.
And I think we got to spend a little bit of time in there. I mean, this thing, I don't think people imagined back then what a room was like. There's no computer. There's no phone.
No.
It's just a bed and maybe a book.
Yeah, I mean, and that was a big part of his character, and a big part of the film is that I wanted to explore is the monotony of kind of day-to-day life. And I think how technology has changed the way we feel about that and experience a day. I think because of technology, we feel like our life isn't that monotonous anymore, because I can go on Instagram and I can check out what all my friends are doing all over the world, and I feel like I had an out-of-my-life experience for a minute. Whereas in reality, our life is very monotonous. We're going through kind of the same routine on a daily basis. And by putting this into a period film, it became very clear. His life is the same thing every day. He's going to school, solving science problems, coming home, reading a book. And that's why this pen pal relationship really gives him an opportunity to explore and go somewhere new.
Now, again, you rely very heavily on instrumental music, so you have to set the scene through the letters, the narrative, everything you've done. So, again, why do you keep using instrumental film with no words?
I think that it just really allows the audience to attribute the meaning to the pictures themselves. And, like, I work with a great composer, Nicholas Pike. He also scored Poppies. He scored this film. And I think by using instrumental, you're guiding, of course, because there's so much emotion in music, but without words, which are explicitly telling the audience how to feel about something, just hearing the music lets you feel about the images you're seeing on screen in a different way than I would, because we're going to internalize that music differently. So I really think that just relying on, you know, the instrumental is really giving the audience the creative license to take away from the film what they want to.
Okay. I'm going to try to go through this question, but you'll get the hint because you wrote it. Your casting of the characters. And
yeah.
I want to go mainly through the main two, and I want to leave everybody else out. There's a reason for that, but you know
of
the reason. The listeners need to not know the reason. They have to watch the film to understand this question. So how did you go about your casting?
So casting, because we were on a really short pre-production, like I said, 8 days from when we got the financing to when we started production, most everybody are actors I've worked with or have worked with for sure, or, and also kind of wrote the characters for them. Assuming they would do it if I asked them to. So I think that in terms of, especially our main two, when I was writing the piece, I said to them, you know, like, if this is able to happen, would you be on board to do it? And then once they said yes, I kind of wrote the characters with them in mind. And especially our lead character, he has this, you know, quirkiness that I think is very fitting for this type of character in the film. And our professor, which I'm assuming is the other character you're talking about. I've worked with her several times, I think 3 or 4 times by now. And she's incredibly talented, amazing actress who's very supportive. And yeah, she's phenomenal.
I think we also state we're not trying to leave other people out. Just things happen later in the film, but we're not going to get into. So I'm going to state that now, so I don't want everybody else listening to this. Why are they not talking about me? Well, there's reasons for that. You're going to have to accept it.
Everyone was incredibly talented, supportive, and a pleasure to work with. So when you see it, you're going to be blown away, hopefully.
I hope so. I do want to go back to one small detail. The letter, is it the same letter over and over again, or did you make more letters?
No, you mean from a production?
Total production standpoint.
We had different letters for every single one. We wrote, like, we had maybe like 8 letters throughout the film that are, we always use the same color envelopes for each character so that there's hopefully some visual distinction between them, and different papers, like the quality of the paper was different. One was more white and one was more kind of parchment-y. And so like subtle differences to show where they were coming from, because they're coming from different parts of the world. We had to write out all the letters for each scene, which I don't know if it translates, but it definitely helps the actor as well, because the actor was for sure reading them. So it's helping to convey some emotion.
So this is just a personal observation. Do you think the lead character, David, is a little withdrawn, not worldly, I guess, is what I'm looking at here. Did you write him to do that?
Yes, absolutely. And that's why he, as his character, he is kind of the black sheep in his community, and he's introverted, and as you notice, there's other, in our opening sequence, there's other groups of friends who are hanging out and talking, and he's kind of off on his own. He's more bookish, he's more academic. And that's why he really falls into this pen pal relationship, because for him, it's the opportunity to have relationships. It's the opportunity to have friendships and romantic relationships and all these things that he is, whether he's not allowing himself to experience it in real life, or he's choosing not to, or people aren't letting him, you know, he is kind of that person who's off to the side.
Just for the people that saw Poppies, just because I'm going to compare something here, you're the Japanese woman on the plane. I can't remember her name. I apologize.
Auntie Ling.
And David. Are they almost, not that I would say they're the same character, but do you start writing with that in mind? Because you started with Auntie Ling first and went off from her. Start with David and go off from him in your process.
In terms of a process? I think with both films, it's more I started with the idea that I wanted to explore. So with Poppies, the main idea was how there were kind of 2 things that came together, which was this idea of a chance encounter that can change your perspective over the long term, and then how 2 cultures can have different interpretations over the same symbol. Yes. So I started with that and then built characters out of that. And I think in this case, it was more about, I wanted to play with that idea how sometimes we're to blame for the way that we interpret something, not the person misrepresented, not that the whatever, like the way that I interpret a story, the moral I take away from it is half of it is based off of my experiences and what I'm putting into it. I'm putting more onto the first part of the story that's telling me something more than it actually is. So I started with a character who might do that, who might make a lot of assumptions, who might make a lot of assumptions and believe them to be true, and then as a result get hurt by that, or go through an experience where the reality turns out to just be different than what he had built up in his mind.
Perfect. I can't even go off that. That was too perfect. That was really good. I would like to discuss more, but I can't, so I'm going to move on to fun questions now, if that's okay.
Great. Yeah, let's do it.
Since I don't think you've answered any of these before, so I made up new ones while we were talking.
Okay, cool.
Favorite place to visit in L.A.?
Ooh, I love going to the Getty Center. I think it is beautiful, inspiring. Have you been to the Getty Center in L.A. ever?
I've been to L.A., but never to the Getty Center.
Okay, the Getty Center is a museum and campus. I love to go there and write. Because it's just like it's almost like a Google campus or something that you would imagine in this utopian world where the buildings are beautiful. They're like a light-colored limestone or sandstone and beautiful trees and fountains. And then there's 4 or 5 buildings with permanent art installations from the Getty Collection. So you have everything from historic paintings to modern and photography, and you can really just get lost. And then you have beautiful views of L.A. because it's up in the mountains.
Awesome.
So that's definitely my favorite spot to be.
Your favorite food?
Oh, my gosh, everything. I love to eat.
Well, that's awesome. And you're in L.A., so that's even better.
I think what I love the most is probably ramen. Yeah, let's go with that for today.
Because you're a student, this may be a weird question. Do you have a DVD collection?
I do at my parents' house from when I was a kid.
Perfect. Then you can answer my question.
Sure.
What's the strangest DVD on your shelf?
Oh, my gosh. Strangest DVD.
Everybody has one DVD on their shelf, and you're wondering why it's there when you look at the collection.
I think none of my movies are strange because I don't know. I like them all. Probably I like Drop Dead Fred a lot. That's a very random, strange movie that
I have seen. Drop Dead Fred. It is a very random, strange movie. I agree.
So let's go with that one.
So Aaron is currently, if I understand from your reading, doing the festival circuit?
It's just starting, so we haven't officially premiered yet. I'm hoping we get to premiere at the same festival that Poppy's did, which was LA Shorts, and hopefully Outfest in LA. Those are coming up, so we're looking to premiere hopefully in June, July of this year. So this is like a sneak peek.
Awesome. I like being ahead of things. And you're going to be in there in person so everybody can meet you?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm trying to go to as many festivals as possible. So with Poppies, I went to the majority of festivals as long as they didn't clash. Sometimes there were two on the same weekend. With Aaron, I'm going to be doing the same thing, trying to get to as many as possible. And I think the only thing that would really be stopping me is if we are starting production on Poppies sooner than I anticipate.
I would tell everybody where to find Aaron, but they can't. And Poppies they can't see either because that's still on the circuit, right? Or can they see Poppies online?
Yeah, so you can check out our websites, poppies-film.com or aaron-film.com, which has a list of festivals that we've already been in and upcoming festivals. You can see the trailers for both films on those websites. You can follow us on Instagram, which is at Poppy's Film or at Aaron Short Film. And Facebook are the same tags. So, yeah, you can definitely keep up to date. And on the websites, you can sign up for our subscriber list where you're going to get all the updates when we get accepted into festivals or have any updates about cast and crew.
And before I let you go, I want to tell everybody listening, go see Miles. He's fabulous. He will come and say hi to you. He'll be glad to show up for your film. He'll talk about food. He'll answer any questions for you. Go see his shorts.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
And they're really good. And cinematographers there, give a big hug for me because I love his use of colors. So
please
go see these shorts, people. They're so good. And Miles is lovely. He wants to meet you. So please go say hi to him from us. Thank you. You're good as always. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you again.
Okay. Bye-bye. Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to this great interview. We have more on our website at www.extrafeatures.ca. And if you enjoyed it, can you please go to iTunes and leave us an iTunes review and like us on our Facebook page. Thank you.